Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And this is Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends. You know where to follow us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter at this point. We can't say it enough. You can do the speech with us, right?
That's right.
So we are, yes, Kevin. Say yes, Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin's nodding. Kevin forgot it was an audio visual person. He goes, there he goes. He's going to nod. Say
don't
it.
Worry, I just glared at Rob.
He gave me a glare. I saw the glare. We are very excited today because we have a guest back with us that we had a few years ago. And it turned out to be one of our most popular episodes. And everyone kept saying, when is he coming back? When are you getting him back? We got him back. And folks, it's the one and only Michael Levine. Michael, the sheet music guru, expert, shaman. What other words can I use to describe Michael? Genius, brilliant
music director,
music
coach,
director,
teacher. I mean, like every so much
international teacher. International.
Everybody knows who this man is. We teach, Rob and I teach, every single student. I've known Michael since I was in college 20 years ago because I sent away to get scores from him, but students to this day know this is a man who is an infinite resource of knowledge and musicianship. So and welcome, Michael.
Welcome back, Michael. How have you been? How's life?
That's great. I'm so happy to be with you guys. When you asked me, I was like, I wanted to do this again with you for so long. So I'm so glad to get back with you guys.
We are so happy to have you. So, Michael, let's just do a little bit of a recap, if we can, for our listeners who might not have heard the first episode. You have perhaps one of... How do we define your sheet music collection? I'd like to say
one of the larger privately held collections of sheet music in the States, in the world, because once you say mine's larger, mine's the largest, somebody's around, that's going to come around to say mine's bigger than yours. And I'm like, put it that way. So I just say, there are plenty of people who would say, well, I have a lot more sheet music than he does. I'm like, fine. Okay. Like Michael Feinstein, we trade all the time, but we both say constantly that our collections are only valuable if we're sharing them with people. And
everybody wins.
Exactly. Yeah. Like behind me, you can see the shelves.
Floor to ceiling shelves.
Pull them out. They're about
3 feet deep.
And it goes way up. And they fill my entire apartment. I've got a storage locker downstairs that's packed to the rafters and stuff. So.
The entire wall, listeners, the entire wall is beautiful.
You can see it. I mean, and then there's
wow.
It goes on for a while. And there's, of course, so much of it is on Dropbox because once you can scan it in, if it's a piece of paper that doesn't have a beautiful cover, just something that was a Xerox, I will throw it away. Once I know it is in the cloud and I can access it anytime I want, I will throw it away. So that's
What about historic? I mean, but is there a demarcation line if it's like a historical piece of sheet music? Because some, you know, pieces are.
Well, if it's an original, I'll keep it. I'm just saying it's a piece of paper that I can always run out and print up again.
Gotcha.
But I'm proudest of having all the originals. People say, I have 600 scores. I said, yeah, but I have 600 actual scores, you know, in paperback that I can pull out that are original that you bought for whoever.
When did you first start collecting?
Well, I started collecting. I went to Columbia University and I started there. And there used to be a shop right near here in Lincoln Center where I live called Hanson's. Hanson was a publisher of sheet music and they had their own store in Lincoln Center. And I used to go there, actually, even in the 70s, before I started college, my family would come up here to visit my grandmother, and I would go over there, and they would sell scores. I remember they had, like, half-price sale, and you could get the $25 published score of Company for $12.50, and I thought, for $12.50. Even for $25, I would have bought it, but I bought it for $12.50, and I started collecting when I was in college. There was also a shop called Lincoln Square Music and a shop called the Singing Exchange. They were the Music Exchange. They were, that was next to the Equity Building, and Lincoln Square was up by where AMDA used to be on 73rd, where it kind of still is, and in the Ansonia Hotel. And they had used, rare, out-of-print stuff. So I would buy, I remember at Lincoln Square for like $2, I bought the cut songs that were published from A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. They published Your Eyes Are Blue and they published I Do Like You. Do you know either of those songs, either of you?
I know Your Eyes Are Blue. I love that song.
It's yeah, I don't know I Do Like You, though.
I Do Like You is fabulous. It's a great. They published it as a solo, but it's actually a duet in the show. I can sing one of the All Sondheims. I can sing it for you if you like.
Ooh! Yeah. And actually, speaking of singing, that's why we have Michael here. One of the greatest joys when Kevin and I went to interview you was watching you open up the filing cabinets. And folks, when you see these filing cabinets open up, it's like Pandora's box. It is just filled with treasure upon treasure upon treasure. And to have Michael just pull one out randomly and introduce us to something that nobody has heard before, or only very few people have had a chance to listen to, it's like musical theater nirvana. I remember Kevin and I, we did not want to leave, did we?
I didn't want you guys to leave. I was loving doing that. It was so much fun.
It was the first time we had music contributed within the pod, too. So that was also like thrilling that we never had anyone just say, hey, here it is. I'm going to play it for you right now. That was really special.
And so today, because we're all in quarantine and we want to give everybody a little joy, we're all going to go to Michael's apartment today. And welcome. Michael is going to welcome. And Michael is going to play for us some songs that, obscure songs, cut songs, things that are gems that are to him. Let me ask you, Michael, maybe I hope if you play this, please shut me up and I won't ask you. What's your most prized piece in your collection? What's one that you look at and go, boy, it took me a long time to get that, but I'm happy I got it. Or somebody gifted it to you and you thought,
it's a set of songs. I'm going to pull them over here. If you know that the show, this musical, yeah, I showed these to you guys last time. I probably even pulled them out and showed them to you last time. But if you know what musical Away We Go is, you guys know. But if the audience sees the other songs from Away We Go, then they could probably figure out what it used to be called.
Yes. So
this was Oklahoma Out of Town. And I love this first sheet because this is a song that was cut from Away We from Oklahoma before it became Oklahoma. And it's signed by that's Celeste Holm, Burgess Irving, and Joan Roberts, who was the original Lori.
Wow.
You know that Joan Roberts, the original Lori, and Celeste Holm, the original 80 Annie, died within 2 weeks of each other, both at the age of 95. A number of years ago. Now, Boys and Girls Like You and Me, they kept trying to put it in shows because it's in State Fair. They put it in like three shows.
Cinderella, I think there was an incarnation. Right. Yeah.
It was originally written for Oklahoma. It doesn't feel like the rest of the sport Oklahoma.
No.
It was in it originally. So I think that's probably, particularly this first sheet. These sheets are pretty rare in general. But that first sheet, the Boys and Girls Like You and Me that was cut, I mean, you can find a copy for maybe $750 if you look for it, but it doesn't really come up very often either.
How did that come into your possession? Because once again, folks, we'll post a photo of this. But what Michael just showed us was Boys and Girls Like You and Me, cut from Oklahoma, but it's not cut from Oklahoma; it's cut from Away We Go, the first title for Oklahoma. This is how did this
signed by the cast?
Signed by the cast. How did you get this?
So, I mean, true collectors would say it's worth less when it's been signed by somebody because it defaces it. But for me, it's much more valuable. I inherited one of the reasons my collection became so big in the first place after 15 years of collecting was over 25 years ago, I was good friends with a guy named Arthur Siegel. Arthur wrote a lot of the music to the New Faces reviews in the 50s and 60s that started the careers of people like Mel Brooks and Paul Lynde and Eartha Kitt. And he lived across the street from me in the same building that Betty Comden lived in. And I would go, he would come over here with Steve Ross, the cabaret pianist, and Roger Sturtevant, my late friend who was a casting director who had the largest collection of 78s in the world. People like Feinstein would go to him and trade with him. Not really the largest in the world, but he had a very, very large collection of 78s. And Arthur would trade music with each other. And then when he died in 1994, Brian Gary, Brian Gary wrote the musical.
Yes.
Too.
Yes. Late night comic.
Very good. No flies on you. He is also the grandson of.
That
I don't know.
This is what Roger Sturtevant used to do. Here we go. He was the grandson of...
Charlie Chaplin, but it's something like...
Georgie Jessel.
Right track. Eddie Cantor.
Eddie Cantor.
And his thought... Eddie Cantor had three daughters, and they were famous in their day. And Janet had was Brian. And Janet and Amanda is Brian's sister. Janet had Brian and Amanda. Janet was very best friends with Arthur for many, many years. Janet's sister was married to Robert Clary, who's LeBeau from Hogan's Heroes, who was also got his start on in the New Faces reviews. And I had dinner with Robert and Robert Clary, if you want to say it like that. He's saying Lucky Pierre in New Faces of 52. I had dinner with them in L.A. a number of years ago, and he's a hoot. He's really a character. So Brian was in charge of the estate. And Roger and I went over there after Arthur died, and he said, would you be interested in buying the whole collection? And our jaws dropped. And originally he wanted like $8,000. And I said, okay, nice to have chatted with you. Goodbye. And then Ed Schloss, who was a theater producer, Broadway producer, off-Broadway producer, he decided to put in $6,000 of it. I never even met him. He died since then. And he paid for the bulk of it. And I put in, not only did I only put in $2,000, but I put in $200 a month over 10 months that I would send a check down to Arthur's brother, Eddie, in Florida. And it was a whole day. Arthur lived to be at the age of 70. And when he'd been collecting since he was 12. And people like Julie Stein and Richard Rogers would give him sheet music, say, would you play this and learn this song? So I had a lot of things actually in Richard Rogers' handwriting. And when I first got it contacted by the Rogers and Hammerstein organization, I kind of became unofficially on retainer with them. They would go to me, Ted Chapin would call me and say, we're looking for this weird Richard Rogers and Hart song. And I said, oh, I have it. It's in Rogers' handwriting. It's fairly illegible, or I would have it copied by a copyist, but without chord symbols and just with single notes. So you have to figure out from the key what chord the chords were, but there was the music that they had nothing in there. And there were a lot of those, actually. I still have a lot they haven't gone to me for. But Arthur also had a lot of things he would transcribe, a lot of things he would do lead sheets because he would play in piano bars, and he would also do a lot of the Ben Bagley recordings. And he would, he's very much the musical director in many of the Ben Bagley recordings and sings on them too. And he would... This is an example of a piece of sheet music that he would write out, and I have a lot of those. So Arthur had that music. He had that Away We Go sheet. So, and he had a lot of wonderful things. For example, one of the things Arthur had, another rare piece of music, is this is the vocal selections to Red Hot and Blue. It's hardcover, spiral bound, beautifully bound with silk cover. And it's the vocal selections to Red Hot and Blue, and all the sheet music. But what makes it worth maybe $800-$900, can you guess, is that in the back, yes, it's numbered and signed by Cole Porter.
When
I showed it to Michael Feinstein, Michael said, oh, yeah, mine's number 78. I said, yeah, mine's number 78. But we both have it. And I have a similar thing for Ira Gershwin. When he was still alive, Roger Sturtevant went to this thing, and I inherited Roger's sheet music, and have inherited a number of collections, and that's Elise Breton, another collection I inherited. She wrote the dance music. The only Broadway show she wrote the dance music to was 1776, and she was best friends with Sherman Edwards, who wrote the music and lyrics to Shannon 1776. So she died maybe 10 years ago, and somebody who was in charge of her estate told her to call me, and he called me and he just gave me the collection, and I had to rent a car because from the Upper West Side, piling boxes in wonderful sheets out of print stuff I didn't have. Every published song that you've never heard of by Sherman Edwards, including ones that he wrote with Elise, and around three or four cut songs from 1776 that nobody knows. And also the only other show she worked on was a show called Swing, not the one you know, but from 40 years ago, there was a musical by Geld and Udell, who wrote Shenandoah and Pearly, called
An Angel,
favorite of mine. This played at the Kennedy Center in 1980, and I was living down there then, and I didn't see it. Debbie Shapiro back then was in it. And she
had
a great song from it on her CD. And I always wanted the score. It wasn't by Geldon Udell. It was by Robert Waldman and Alfred Ury.
Oh, yes, of course.
Robert Bridegroom?
Robert Bridegroom,
yes.
And that's right. And this was around 4 years after Robert Bridegroom. And I did a project. What other show did they write? Before they wrote Robert Bridegroom.
Before that, I cannot remember.
Alfred Ury and
One Night on Broadway, it starred Heather McRae, and Heather recorded for me one of her big songs from it, and it had a counter melody, and we asked Bob Waldman whether he would put a dummy track down of the until we got somebody in. So I went to his apartment, we had a lovely time, talked about swing. He didn't want to give me the score because he only wanted to record it if we would provide an orchestra. And I said, I can only have money for piano. But since then, I have the whole score because Elise wrote the music. The other show they wrote is called Here's Where I Belong. It's a musical of East of Eden.
First
libretto for a musical by what Pulitzer Prize winning playwright?
Terrence McNally.
Very good. Yes. And it also starred Ken Kercheval from Dallas, that great musical comedy star, Ken Kercheval. it's got some really lovely songs. Barbara Walsh recorded this song, Reveille Sun, that Heather recorded also, and one of the Bruce Kimmel recordings years ago. But it's a fascinating story and a great musical. But Swing is a really great score that I want to do something with. I'm trying to resurrect scores that have not been recorded. And the other score I'm going to be doing an entire CD of, that I've got five songs recorded already that were on this podcast the other day for Moment Magazine. The show is called Laugh a Little, Cry a Little. Very Jewish, as in laugh a little, cry a little. You probably never heard of it because it did not play on Broadway. It played what was called the Goober Gross Circuit. Goober Gross Circuit consisted of theaters in the round, often outdoors, including the Westbury Music Fair, Valley Forge in Pennsylvania, the Lambertville Music Circus right outside New Hope. Painter's Mill in Maryland. And I used to go to Shady Grove and see stuff there. And this starred Jan Pierce. The music was by Gary William Friedman, who wrote the music to...
Nobody Knows.
Thank you. Oh, okay, good.
And the lyrics were by Arnold Horwitt, who wrote the lyrics to...
Oh, no, I don't know that one.
Oh, I'm stopping you guys. Okay.
People come. I don't know.
Plain and Fancy. Oh, duh, of course.
How do you raise a barn?
He wrote those words. Plain and Fancy was the first musical with dance music by Peter Howard. Now, Peter Howard was my mentor for 15 years, right around 12 years ago. Peter also conducted Laugh a Little, Cry a Little. And Laugh a Little, Cry a Little was about an immigrant family from the overseas who comes during the time of Ellis Island, lives in the Lower East Side, and there it was kind of a series of anecdotes. It was ideally... Madeline Guilford, Jack Guilford's wife, came up with the idea of musicalizing Leo Rostin's book, The Joys of Yiddish. So she went to Gary William Friedman. They went to Arnold Horwitt. And he said, let me write an actual book for this musical. And it was a series of vignettes. But Gary sent me the songs, and I said, these are terrific. I want to record them. So I got one of my friends, I got Richard Kind to sing with Michael McCoy, who's an actor who was in the Phantom Tour, Marnie Robb, who's a longtime Christine on the Phantom Tour, only Phantom actors. And I also got Nick Blamire to sing a song called Sabbath Song. I got Nora Menken, Alan's daughter, who's a good friend. That family is very old friends with my family. And she sang a song called Morris Brodkin Loves Me. And so we've recorded those. And now I'm going to get the rest of the score. And Gary Stevens, who was in the original cast of Merrily We Roll Along, when he was 11, he played Jan Pierce's grandson in Laugh a Little, Cry a Little. So he's full of stories, great recall. He can remember every aspect of the show. And I can show you photos of the backstage and photos of the program and everything like that. It's a fascinating show with a really, really nice score. And Gary's become a friend, and I really like his work. And I want to expose it. So I'm going to do some more songs from that eventually.
That's great. So you want to start recording, I'm assuming, shows that have just never had an album produced. Is that right?
Yes, ideally, or even just themed albums.
Sure.
I have a lot of stuff in the can that I've actually recorded but haven't put out. And now that people aren't buying CDs, but they're buying MP3s, I don't necessarily have to wait till I have enough for a full album, or I can put them out a lot easier. I did an album myself, to go away from the Broadway thing for a second, where I sang nothing but 20s and 30s songs, with the most obscure being something like Toot Toot Tootsie. So it was all really, really well-known songs where I put four hands, I put a separate track, maybe even a third track, I added bass, I added drums, and to his credit, Bruce Yeko proposed, who was producing the Lost Broadway series at one time, said, why don't you get some of your famous friends to record duets from previously unrecorded shows of the 1920s and 30s? So I got Nobody You've Ever Heard Of, I got Laura Osnes, Rebecca Luker, Heather McRae, and Daisy Egan.
Ex.
Duets with me. And Rebecca, as I remember at the time, Rebecca was playing Laura's fairy godmother on Broadway in Cinderella. And I remember Laura's first interval was a tritone, and she went, ba-ba. She kept trying to hit it, and Laura's leaning in the studio, just laughing at her hysterically. And then Laura and I weren't quite getting. I was singing with them. I'd put a track down. We'd sing, and we couldn't quite get the acting. So I said, "Let's just do it right to each other." And we just totally acted it, and it all worked. That's a song from Good News, because the original 1932 Good News was never recorded. It was not used in the later version that Wayne Bryan did in Wichita. But it's very much a precursor to All or Nothing from Oklahoma, bringing things back to Oklahoma again. And it's very much a kind of challenge song between the man and the woman. And Laura was everything we love about her. She was great. And Daisy sang a song called My Sweetheart Tis a Thee that I'm a big fan of by Johnny Green. Johnny Green, the famous band leader, composer who wrote Body and Soul. And Rebecca did a song called Dancing Honeymoon from a musical called Battling Butler that played 1922, I believe. It played both on the West End and on Broadway. These are not shows you're going to know, but they
probably
have
music. Wow.
And I have sheet music, and eventually I'll show you the recordings. So a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of other stuff in the can. Walter Frisch is a professor at Columbia University, and he was doing a bunch of work on Harold Arlen. And he got access to Muhlenberg, that has an enormous collection of Arlen, Library of Congress, Lincoln Center Library, a bunch of Arlen collections, got the most obscure Arlen music. We traded with everybody, with each other. So we have every Arlen, wonderful unknown Arlen songs. And I recorded one called How's By You, that I believe has a Yip Harburg lyric. It's fantastic. And I got Nehal Joshi, if you know Nehal, who was in the
good friend, yes.
Probably. He and Aaron Davies done a lot of stuff with me.
Done shows with both of them, yes. Good people.
I saw the show where they met. I saw a Carousel at Olney Theater in Maryland where Julie Jordan. And yes. Cesar Samayoa from Come From Away was Billy Bigelow.
He's great.
Worked for me. And Mr. Snow was Nehal. They've been together ever since. That's like maybe 15 years.
Yeah.
And they're kind of family friends. They've done concerts with my parents at my parents' condo and stuff. So I got Nehal and a bunch of other wonderful performers to do this song. That's a great. So I have a lot of stuff in the can that eventually maybe I can debut.
Oh, I hope so. You know. Yes, I hope so, definitely. Well, I would love to, I don't know, hear something on the piano. I'm dying to hear some music.
If I told you, this is for both of you, see if you get this, this is your first quiz question.
Oh, God.
If I told you I was singing the title song from My Fair Lady, what would I be singing?
Are we talking about the actual title song? Are we actually talking about the title My Fair Lady? Or was there like another title?
The song and that's called My Fair Lady. Okay, here's the
stumped
answer. It was a musical called Tell Me More. Here is the sheet music to Tell Me More. It's a song by George and his lovely wife.
Oh, yes.
And it's from 1920, is it 22? I think it's
what?
25, it looks like. But when it was out of town, it had a different title. Here's the same piece of sheet music with the original title. And there's the original title.
My Fair Lady!
And if you look at the list of songs, there was a title song. Now, I don't have the sheet music to the title song, but they had what was called the selections, where they would put a lot of the songs of the show. They did publish it, but I just don't happen to have that copy. So here's the instrumental of the title song. We can go to the complete lyrics of Ira Gershwin and find the lyric to this, but at least I'm going to show you how the melody to the song My Fair Lady went. It went something like this. It's My Fair Lady.
Cool is that?
George Gershwin. And
popular Gershwin. Wow.
Actually, I take that back. It says lyrics by B.G. De Silva, Desmond Carter, and Ira Gershwin. So three great lyricists to write the lyrics for that show. Oh, here's a little trivia, a little tidbit that I can show you guys. Many years ago, 26 years ago, I musically directed Whoop-Dee-Doo. You know the musical Whoop-Dee-Doo? It was the precursor. The sequel to it was called When Pigs Fly, which many of you
Of course. Know. Yeah.
Whoop-Dee-Doo started off Broadway, the Actors Playhouse in the Village in 1993, and I was 1992. At the end of the run, in 1994, maybe 1993, I started subbing for it. I remember Who imitates Liza? Michael West. You know Michael West?
Yes. Yeah.
Performer would imitate Liza Minnelli in one of the sketches, and it was about a desert island where a box of records and a record player fell from the skies from an airplane onto this desert island, and the inhabitants of the island learned English from listening to, you know, you'll be swell, you'll be great. They listened from listening to these show albums. So then the real Liza Minnelli fell down from the skies and landed on the island. And I remember originally it was Tommy Femia as Judy Garland, but then when he left the show, Liza came, and the inhabitants of the island all look at her and go, Liza! And she goes, well, who are you expecting, Lorna? Well, no, Lorna's my sister, and I love her. Well, she's my half-sister, and I half-love her, which is my favorite line, Michael West. But, one of the performances, Joel Grey was in the audience, and Michael said, ladies and gentlemen, in the audience, my dear friend, Joel Grey. And the real Joel Grey stood up and started bowing, and everybody was looking around. And the theater was packed. It was at the very end of the run. Cameron McIntosh saw it, loved it, decided to give Dan Crawford £25,000 to produce it at the King's Head in London. And they couldn't find a musical director they liked there, who had enough control and talent, so they brought me over to musically direct it with some amazing people. Christopher Biggins, who's a big celebrity there, and really wanted Ray C. Davis, who was one of the dancers in the movie of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Derek Jacobi, I. Claudius, remember I. Claudius?
Yep.
Christopher Biggins was Nero in I. Claudius, but also Ashley Knight, who was in our show, who just did Funny Girl with Christina Bianco in Paris. He was young Claudius, young Derek Jacobi in I. Claudius. So the two members of I. Claudius, so when Livia, what's her name? The wonderful actress who played Livia. She came to the show. We had three people. We almost had John Collins there. It was a really exciting time. And so I went, Robert Longdon, who wrote Moby Dick. You remember the musical that Cameron McIntosh?
Yes.
It's with the kid, the school, where they're putting on a musical. Right. Yes.
So Robert and I became friends, and he invited me to Cameron's office, and Cameron was out of town. And he said, well, let's look around. I said, I saw a stack of these. I said, I'm just taking a couple of these and sticking in my pocket. And this is called a Fandom, P-H-A-N-D-O-M, contents one condom, one chocolate, and it says here, sheathe yourself in the mystery of the night, or better yet, it says, slowly, gently, night unfurls its splendor, grasp it, sense it, tremulous and tender. The perfect words, right, for this.
Or, that was at the office.
Phantom condoms. We've never seen this on the show before.
Past the point of no return, our passion play is now at last begun. So I gave one to Davis Gaines, who I'd be friends with, but the only other one I have is here. So there's a bit of
Keep that.
Tell Me More, or My Fair Lady. I thought I'd sing a song that has fame as a title, because just the year after this show played, or 2 years after this show played, the same title appeared in a major Broadway musical that you still know, and you can probably sing the real song. This is an up-tempo. The one by Jerome Kern is a ballad. So what is the show first, the 27 show?
That's by Jerome Kern.
Yes.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, it's pretty obscure. I don't think you'd know it. It's called Showboat? No?
No.
Never mind. So from Showboat, here is the same song, the same title. Here is a title from Tell Me More.
Oh my God. Look at that.
Same title. So this one goes like this. She sings. So we're starting with she. She sings. I made it look down a bit because I haven't really done this right. Once I was so willing to believe that love is thrilling, but of late a doubt is filling my mind. You say you adore me, that should be sufficient for me, but the path of love is stormy, I find. When love gets you, it upsets you. All day long I phone you, cause I'm never sure I own you. Darling, ever since I've known you, I've pined. Oh, who do I love you? Love you, love you, my. How I love you, love you, love you. When we met, it's true, I never knew that love could do this to me. No time for sleeping, sleeping, sleeping. Just time for weeping, weeping, weeping blue. The whole pulled I through. Oh, tell me why do I love you? And he sings, dear, it is my duty to announce that what 'twas not your beauty that convinced me you're the cutie to woo. Lately, more's the pity, I have noticed in the city many girlies twice as pretty as you. Though they thrill me, gal, you kill me. You're a loving bandit, and to you I've got to hand it, but I cannot understand it. It's true. Oh, why do I love you, love you, love you, my? How I love you. Love you, love you when we met, it's true. I never knew that love could do this to me. No, time for sleeping, sleeping, sleeping just. Time for weeping, weeping, weeping blue the whole night through. Oh, tell me why do I love you?
Yeah, that's incredible. What a fun song.
And that was again...
That was called Why Do I Love You from Tell Me More, formerly known as My Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady.
Wow. I love it.
Lyric by B.G. De Silva and Ira Gershwin. So it took two greats to collaborate on that lyric.
Clever. I mean, really clever lyric. I mean, it's really fun.
I want to sing that song.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. Yeah.
Hello. This is Patsy Tavis. Not the young one. No, I'm 122 years old. Right. But the boys at Behind the Curtain asked me to ask you for some money. Because, let's face it, I'm quite musical. And I was a Broadway baby. So, head over to patreon.com. That's patreon.com. And set up a monthly donation. Or get your sister Bobby to do it. Or some assistant. And I would not say no to a pack of smokes. Thank you.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So, if I was to tell you, you're probably both going to guess the correct answer for this, but if I'm going to sing to you a song that, tell me exactly what it is. It's called Don't Say F-A-T in Front of Conrad.
Oh, I know the show. Is that what I'm supposed to guess?
You may. Go ahead.
It's probably Bye Bye Birdie, but not Bring Back Birdie.
I think it's Bring Back Birdie, right?
Is it Bring Back Birdie?
Well, what's the secret?
About Conrad or about Mrs. Peterson? I don't know.
Is that it was cut. It wasn't in the show.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Oh. Yes, of course.
Oh.
If you know the CD of Don't Say F-A-T, produced by Robert Sher.
Yes, of course.
If you know that CD, you'll be, I don't know that song because it's not in the CD because it was a cut song. But I saw the show. I was taking a course at Columbia at the time with Lee Adams, lyricist of Bye Bye Birdie and Bring Back Birdie. at the time, in the spring of 1981. And we were like his therapist. We'd come in every Friday afternoon and go,
what was he like?
We cut Don't Say F.A.T. this week, and he would tell us all the things. And I went to the box office at the Martin Beck, now known as the Hirschfeld, and I would say to the box office guy, I want to get a standing room. And he knew me. He'd see me coming. Go. So he would sell me for $7. I'll say that again, $7. Mm-hmm. He'd sell me an orchestra seat because they didn't have standing room. They still don't at the Beck, at the Hirschfeld. So he would give me a nice orchestra seat for $7. So there were never that many people in the audience to begin with. And I saw the show throughout. It previewed for several weeks. Now, do you remember who played? Now, this was... you know, Fat Elvis. Elvis later, when he gained weight, that's why it's Don't Say F.A.T., because this was
right.
A professional Elvis Presley impersonator named Marcel Forestieri played Conrad Birdie, heavier, and he had to lose weight, and he was trying. And they had another song that was cut called Shape Up, where they had the soap opera actress Colleen Zenk, who I've since then become friendly with, and her daughter. Now, who played Albert and Rose's daughter in Bring Back Birdie?
I know that Robin Morse...
That's correct.
Was the daughter.
That's right. That's what I've said. That's what I asked.
Wow.
And the son. I don't remember who played the son.
His name's Evan Seplow. Robin was a good friend of mine because I had gone to French Woods with Robin. And I've known her since she's, 14.
Of course.
So she had auditioned as I had. I got up at 7 o'clock in the morning just to the Minskoff rehearsal studios to audition for the open call for Merrily Roll Along. Back on October, I think it was October 7th, 1980, some dates you don't forget.
Oh, wow.
And you can see my audition if you go see The Best Worst Thing That Ever Happened, the movie by Lonnie Price, because 20 minutes in, they actually show me singing Johnny One Note at my audition. And I signed, I was so early in line, there was a sign-up sheet, nobody had signed up, so I could have put myself as number one. I said, well, I'll put myself as number seven. And I stupidly didn't sign Robin up. And she came, why didn't you sign me up? I said, oh, I didn't think of it. And she, here's a little known fact, which I told Gary Stevens the other day, Robin Morse was cast in Merrily Roll Along, but she was also cast in Bring Back Birdie. And Merrily got postponed 6 months. And she really wanted to wait and do the Sondheim show. But her agent said, no, you've been hired to do Bring Back Birdie. You have to turn down Merrily. She was like, all right. And, she would have had 12 more performances. Merrily had 16. Bring Back Birdie only had 4. But, she was, So I went to the first preview. It was notorious because, do you remember the first act ender? There was a punk rock band. And the name of the rock band was?
I don't remember, but I remember.
Not the Toilets.
That was it right after that. But the name of the rock band was Filth.
Filth.
Yeah, and they were singing, we are Filth, we are Filth. And then the first act ended with Albert Donald O'Connor sitting on a toilet seat, and the second performance, I remember I was standing outside the theater listening to the audience. They were booing because it was not what you'd call. That said, the score has some terrific, terrific songs. And
agreed.
They did a concert
agreed
at the Duplex a number of years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago. And Charles Strauss went to see it and he said it healed a hole in his heart because he realized that it really wasn't that bad a show. I'd like to sing another song besides this one from another musical that was roundly trounced, another sequel that was roundly trounced, and it was so glitzed up that you couldn't tell how good the score is. But when I musically directed it at the Duplex in the same year they did Bring Back Birdie, it was said that how wonderful the score was. Even I could not get the composer to come see it. You know what show that is?
Not Annie Warbucks or Miss Hannigan's Revenge.
On Broadway.
A sequel that played on Broadway.
Oh, Best Little Whorehouse Goes Public.
And ding, ding, ding.
So, oh, I love
good
it.
For you, Kev.
Carol Hall was a dear friend of mine. I love it.
We'll let the devil take us. We'll go down to Vegas.
I directed it. Yes. I loved it. And it's got some great songs. And I told Carol,
yes,
we're doing it. Every time I would run into her, and she would just smile at me. And then her husband said, that's such a sore subject. I saw the show in rehearsal at the Nederlander Theater, not where it opened, with no sets, no costumes, just a pianist and Tommy Tune sitting on a chaise in the middle of the theater with an audience.
A chaise?
You're
lying. You're not lying, are you?
No,
you're not lying. He was in a chaise.
Lay on a chaise. You're directing. And,
no way.
And we maybe not with Whorehouse, but certainly when I saw Grand Hotel in rehearsal, he was in the middle of theater. But there were no sets, no costumes, and we thought it was wonderful because you just hear the songs. But then they glitzed up with $5 million Bob Mackie counts, and you didn't get a sense of how good the score is. When I did it by myself, people were like, this is a really wonderful show or a wonderful score. Maybe not the best book in the world. It's got tax evasion and stuff like that. I'm not going to go super fast with this song because I'm kind of sight reading it, and it's handwritten in Charles's hieroglyphics, which are pretty hard to make out. But the show goes something. This is "Don't Say FAT," so it's something like this. It's ideally, eventually, "Don't Say FAT" in front of Conrad, but I'm going to sing it a lot slower. It's a pattern.
Thank you.
"Don't Say FAT" in front of Conrad. That's the word that leaves him off the wall. Don't say FAT in front of Conrad, or hell. Or he'll go berserk and kill us all. Don't say anything. Oh, you know what? Then it says the words etc. So they didn't even clear it, the lyrics for the second verse. But the chorus goes, sensitive, I almost seem unskinned, but that's what he's not. Michelob, imagine the six packs that led to that pot. So please don't use that word in front of Birdie. That which starts with F and ends with T. If he does, we'll sing. If he doesn't sing, we'll all be sued by NBC. How he drove him wild. How they screamed for him. We must make him think. Will he's still cute and slim? If he gets word. Dead. If he bolts, if he quits, we're dead. And that will be that. So never say fat. No, and it ends. Okay, Conrads, go out there and get 'em. No lyrics here. Then now that he would, that I would kill him. That Ernest, largest, excited, fastest singing star. He's the whole. Then it just says etc. So this
is the song. I love it.
I just remember, as soon as I saw the sheet music, I went, oh, I could always sing that first line because I remember that so well. It would be scene song. They kept interrupting it with a piece of a scene and then continuing along.
That's great. Etc. That's the brilliant Lee Adams.
I have many. Well, actually, I have a script. The first draft of Sweeney Todd, the script of Sweeney Todd.
What?
Sweeney's brother was a major character in the show. And this time they would get killed by a razor would be going into their stomach, plunged into their stomach. It was really, and then often they would set up a song and it would say more to come. And you would just see more to come. And sometimes they would have early versions of the songs. And I also have a script to The Girls Upstairs, which you know as
Follies.
What? What?
And that was a murder mystery. You've heard that Follies was originally a murder mystery?
No, no.
Yeah, that's the original script of Follies. So that's how they called The Girls Upstairs. I have a couple of drafts of Follies before it became what we know. So we should do a reading of one of those.
I was going to say we should do a Zoom reading of The Girls Upstairs.
We should. I know. It's a great idea. It just popped into my head that I have some of those early scripts.
Great.
I'll show you a song from Bessel Horace Goes Public, if I may.
Yes, please.
There is a wonderful actor. Tell me who starred opposite Dee Hody? Dee Hody was Mona. These are the two characters from the show, the previous musical, The Bessel Horace in Texas. The sheriff and Mona. Who was the actor who played? No, I'm sorry. This is actually not Ed Earl Dodd. It was a character named Sam. They created a new character, but he was played by Scott Holmes. Scott Holmes was a soap star on As the World Turns, who I love. But Scott Holmes was also the original Los Angeles
in Che, City of Angels.
Before the same time Mandy Patinkin did it. Scott Holmes was doing it. So that early, very, very, very early. And he was, you know, wonderful actor. I just loved his work. And late in the show, he discovers, I don't know, that things are going to turn out or that he likes the woman. Everything's going to not as bad as it is. And he sings this song from The Best Little Whorehouse Goes Public. Is there a CD, Rob? I don't think there is. Is there?
There is. Oh, yeah. There's a recording.
There is. A CD.
There is?
Oh, yeah. It was a favorite thing. Yeah. I loved it.
I have a DVD that I've spread around to some of the cast members, but I still have a bunch of other copies of it, of the original production. I keep telling Casey Nicola, and he's like, oh, I want it. I said, let me, I want to give it to you. So, but this is a song you can hear on, you can actually hear the CD of it, I'll sing it anyway. It's called Changing Me. Goes. I can see there's a change in me. Something's been rearranging me, and I like it. I like what I'm seeing here. I'm turning into a new human being here, and I'm feeling so strange. It's been a real big change. I can feel there's a shift in me. Something funny is lifting me. I was foggy. a bumbleloosa. Now I'm turning into a Lollapalooza. What a lovely exchange. It's been a real big change. My life is bubbles, cause I got me no more troubles to spare. And I'm walking on air, don't you see me? The door's unlocking and the world's just a-rocking along. As easy as a song, there ain't any more blues in here. Something's better for choosing here, something lucky. A feeling that's creeping in. Every day I get more of it deepening. I'm completely deranged, it's been a real big change. When one living teaches is that everything is peaches and cream, like a dream coming true if you try it. A piece of cake and it's all there just for the taking and free. It's there for you and me. There ain't any more blues in here. Something better for choosing here. Something lucky. A feeling that's creeping in. Every day I get more of it deepening. What a lovely exchange. It's been a real big change. It's been a real big change.
That is awesome. That's fantastic.
Now, the arranger of that show was the wonderful Peter Matz, one of the best in the business, who arranged, you know, for Streisand for years.
Right.
Did the most brilliant versions of songs that you just don't see all the time. And I think that's
agreed.
Really one of its, yeah. That makes the songs that much better.
Yes.
Than you think.
Who's your, it might be hard to put you on the spot, Michael, but who's your favorite arranger?
It might be Peter Howard for vocal arrangements, for dance music arrangements.
Of course, yeah.
We were just talking about this a couple of weeks ago. Have you seen, it just resurfaced on YouTube. It's about 14 minutes of Peter Howard doing an NYC pledge.
I know that. I mean, he took me on the Queen Elizabeth QE2 in 2003 when he did that show on the QE2. So I watched him do it nightly. And
oh, that's great.
Together and spent a lot of time in London. I took Peter on what we call his trip to Bountiful to L.A. in like 2005. And we went over to Danny Daniels' house, who he was very good friends. We went to a reading of, at the Pantages Theater, they did a reading of the screenplay of Casablanca starring Christian Slater and Anne Heche and a lot of other people in the cast.
Oh.
We got Peter Hunt's seats because Peter Hunt directed it, and Peter Hunt had directed, who just died the other day, he directed 1776 originally.
Right.
Peter. So Peter, we accidentally took Peter Hunt's house seats, and Peter had the screenplay seats himself, and sitting right in front of us. Peter, this is the way Peter would introduce you to famous people. He assumed you knew him. Oh, Peter, Michael, you know Angela Lansbury, right? And I went, no, nice to meet you. You know, she was sitting right in front of us, but it was really fun.
What else you got for us? This is incredible.
Do you know the show? One of you might know it. Musical version of The Tea House of the August Moon. What's it called?
Lovely ladies, kind
gentlemen.
And who's the producer of the album? One guess.
Robert Scheer.
There you go.
Give you one guess.
And they did publish vocal selections for this show. So these are the...
I've never seen those.
I didn't know that, actually.
And actually, I have the lovely and talented Franklin Underwood signed my selections here.
Oh, wow.
Writing to Michael, thanks for being here. Franklin Underwood, the lyricist, wrote the lyrics with Stan Freeman's music.
I love Stan Freeman. I had a ball.
Right. Stan Freeman wrote wonderful things. There was a review around 25 years ago at the Rainbow and Stars. You've heard of the late lamented Rainbow and
Stars. Yes.
The Rainbow Room. And it was a review of Leonard Bernstein. Had amazing. Marilyn Caskey. I don't know if you know who she is. She was a long time Madame Giry in the Tour of Phantom. She was in another Robert Scheer show, The Utter Glory of Marcy Hall.
Marcy Hall.
And who else was in that? She can tell you who else was in the show, but Stan Freeman was the pianist for that show. And he did this amazing instrumental version of Cool from West Side Story that was the most pianistic. I think I have it somewhere here, his actual arrangement. Stan left the show and Lee Musiker took over, who was Barbara Cook's musical director for many years. And this is a song that Steve Ross does a lot at a, it's actually a good song to sing for an audition because it's called
Call Me Back.
Call Me Back.
So it's something like this by Stan Freeman and Franklin Underwood from 1971.
So cool.
And you know who else was in this show? June Angela was one of the leads. June Angela, who was the lead in Shogun, the musical, but also girl, woman I've become dear friends with, I love so much, Lori Tan Chin. You know her from?
Yes. Orange is
Black. Yeah. But also she was in, what was that show at Paper Mill with Matt Sklar and
Marvin? Gotta Dance, Halftime. Remember it had a bunch of different titles, yeah.
Right, with George Engel. And
yes, yeah.
And Lori was in this one 50 years ago when she was young. So
cool. You know,
something like this. Clap your hands and I'll just take a bow. Snap your feet, I'll tell a joke right now. Snap your fingers for my broken wing. Play me an arpeggio, I promise you I'll sing. Call me Mr. Hokum, call me Hack. Well, there's not a single talent you can name I lack. When I leave, call me Ham, come, and that's what I am. Call me back, call me back, call me back. You can call me anything you like, but one fact still remains. I guess that must have... Guess most everybody's got lubricant paint in his veins. I'll turn some somersaults. Throw some spoons, I'll play the minute waltz. Yell bravo and I'll contact the lunts. Whistle and I'll juggle seven oranges at once. Be my captive clappers, be my clack. You can set my engine purring on that spotted track. Call me bad, call me bar, call me mad, call me more, but call me back. Call me back, call me back.
Kids out there, you have an audition song. Michael just gave you a great, funny idea for an audition song. That was Call Me Back from Lovely Ladies, Kind Gentlemen.
Now, I'm going to show you something that was also cut from a Broadway musical. This is a song called You'd Be Surprised, and it's not, if only it was the Madeleine Kahn one, the Irving Berlin song.
Which I love.
I found this because the great actor, Paul Hecht, wonderful.
Oh, Paul Hecht, yeah.
Experienced actor, was auditioning for it and gave the sheet music to Roger Sturdivant. I keep bringing it. Roger said, Michael, you have to have this music. You'd Be Surprised, cut from, sung originally, is it by Squash? I can't tell if it's Squash who sings. Well, this is the Gestad version. I don't know if the show. Squash and Toddy sang this song. It's front cut from what show is Squash and Toddy? Do you know? You probably haven't heard. It's called Victor Victoria.
And
I don't know Victor Victoria that well. Not going to lie. Right. I don't. Well,
this is the song. You ready?
We're going to change that.
If you knew just who among the people you knew was gay as the 4th of July, fay as the butterflies floating by, if you but realized you'd be surprised. If you knew who's weird among the men you revered, you'd fall off the edge of your chair. You'd gape like an ape at the names in there. Heroes the world, the whole world is prized, you'd be surprised. Bent as hairpins, queer as coots, macho men in their kinky boots, raging showgirls dyeing their roots, our heroes, our queeros. If you knew who's odd among the workers for God, who trod rather devious paths, campaigned for Sodom and Turkish baths. I thought you should be apprised. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Then Toddy enters. Squash welcomes the intrusion. King's embarrassment and confusion can deepen. And Squash says, I was just telling him. He turns back to King. He sings, if you knew who's queen among the kings of the screen, whose movies we see every week, who in real life is a world-class shriek, he whom we all idolized, you'd be surprised. That's just the tip of the iceberg. If you knew who's strange around the old stock exchange, well, Wall Street would certainly crash. They'd offer trade-offs in lieu of cash, and the interest would certainly rise. You'd be surprised. lady wrestlers in the mud, ballerinas, men called Bud, and the Duchess, who is a stud, some icons are dicons. If you knew who's tough, but who's a true powder puff, you'd stand with your back to the wall, stand there and maybe not move at all. You'd think your mind had capsized, you'd be surprised, you'd be surprised. The two hotel suites slide off stage and the song continues and builds as a fully staged production number for Victoria and Company at Cassis Theatre Club. If you knew who's ill, up there on Capitol Hill, the senator in the fur coat, campaigning daily to swing your vote. Customs that no one's excised, you'd be surprised if you knew who's camp. A former World Series champ, a vamp who's the tramp at his breed. Fun in the locker room guaranteed. Shortstops are strictly advised, you'd be surprised. Uptown fairies, downtown fags, east side hits, wits, and west side wags. Village festites, Harlem hags, the gay groups. The A group. If you knew who's who, among the deviant few, the few, maybe more than you think. They say that make more men than girls wear mink. But till the laws are revised, judges and convicts are compromised. Boy Scouts and choir boys are terrorized. Bishops and jockeys are ostracized. You'd be surprised, amazed, and stunned, and dazed, and scandalized. You'd be surprised.
That's okay. That's incredible. That was cut from Victor Victoria?
Well, apparently, nobody, the people who were sent the song to audition for the show, most of them refused to audition. They were so shocked by this song. They said, that's outrageous. I can't possibly, Paul Hecht among them. He canceled his audition. You know, there was such a tacky, he just said, apparently, this is what people told me back then.
Wow. I actually really liked the song.
Cute song, but it's not as offensive as Have a Nice Day.
No. But my God, wow! Oh, I love that. You know, I have to ask you because it's a show that Kevin and I have been talking about a lot recently. Into the Light,
who was the conductor of Into the Light?
Kevin, who was the conductor? Was it Jack Lee? No.
Who have we talked about already today?
Oh, Peter Howard.
Yes. So I thought I would have
really?
Into the Light score when I inherited Peter Howard's collection of sheet music 12 years ago when he died. I thought I would have the score to Into the Light, but unfortunately
yeah.
It's not there. But anyway, about Into the Light, it was a show about the Shroud of Turin, a musical about the Shroud of Turin.
Yeah, why not?
I saw it, Dancing Priests, Michael Duran. Michael Duran, who was in the original cast of Crazy for You, was a dancing priest in Into the Light. He now runs, I think he retired. He ran the Boulder Dinner Theater in Boulder, Colorado.
So I know it was funded by it was like sort of a church funded it. It's a very almost evangelical in the message, I think. And there's clips on YouTube, a couple of clips. That's all I really know.
Remember the composer and lyricist?
No, I don't.
Lee Holdridge, who wrote the theme to that great TV series in the 80s of Beauty and the Beast. Which I love, that can still sing that theme. He wrote the music. The lyrics are by the brilliant John Forster. Do you know that name? John Forster had a show off Broadway of his own work called Both Barrels. Played at Goodspeed and Chester and then moved down to the Variety Arts. He's a wonderful lyricist. Wrote a lot of industrials. I did an industrial with him many years ago with Ellen Foley. And you should look up the song Entering Marion.
Oh, I know that song. I know that. Yes.
That's John Forster.
That's a funny song.
Very funny song. Go to YouTube.
Yeah.
Look at Engineering Marion.
Do it. It's great.
Not care. Kevin will sing it for you another time. But, but he wrote the lyrics to Into the Light. And a few years ago, he had a show where they do five shows downstairs at New World Stages, NAMT, National Alliance.
Oh, NAMT, yeah.
Yeah.
And I ran into him and I said, oh, John, he loves me. And I said, John, I would love to get the score names and the lights. Oh, yeah, I'll send it to you. And I'm still waiting. So, but yeah, I think the score, as Robert said, the score was good. There were some fun songs I remember. Here's an obscure. I have a recording, perhaps even on this computer, of Sarah Rice, the original Joanna and Sweeney Todd, who was in all the readings of Into the Light. I don't remember if she actually did it on Broadway, but she did all the readings. She sang for me, recorded for one of these future Lost Broadways, a song called The Rose, which was cut from Into the Light.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
there
you go.
So let me ask you a hypothetical, Michael. So let's say I'm going to give you a blank check, and I say you can create any CD you want. Full orchestrations, have a good time with this blank check. What's the theme? What do you want out there? What do you want preserved?
I probably wouldn't do a specific show. I'd probably go through and pull as many things, either have them orchestrated from scratch or see if we can find the orchestrations. There's a musical I'm a big fan of from 1961 that closed out of town, closed in Detroit, of all places, called Kix & Co. It starred Burgess Meredith.
The Penguin.
It starred Nichelle Nichols, Lieutenant Uhura, Al Freeman Jr., wonderful black actor. And the music was by Oscar Brown Jr. And it was originally directed by, wait for it, Lorraine Hansberry. And it played Detroit.
Oh,
it was closed there. The original musical director was Jack Lee. And before he died, Jack Lee gave me the entire score to Kix & Co. I had all the published sheets. And a number of years ago, Oscar Brown was appearing down at the Tribeca Arts Center. And David Cleaver, who works down there, arranged for me to meet him. And I brought my sheets. And I mentioned Jack Lee. He said, Jack Lee, how's that cat doing? And I called Jack Lee. He said, Oscar Brown. Oscar Brown, wow. So I had Oscar signed all my sheet music. And there are great songs. I had the brilliant Chuck Cooper, one of the great singing actors we have out there. It was kind of this situation. He said, I'm coming over, pick 5 or 10 songs, and I'll sing them. So I picked Sena, S-E-E-N-A. Do you know, either of you know what that is?
No.
It's from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Oh.
It's a gorgeous song, and of course Chuck is brilliant doing it. We'll have that on a future album. I have that.
Oh, that's
exciting. I have a wonderful song by Fats Waller from Early to Bed, Fats Waller's Broadway musical, called This Is So Nice, and he had his son play guitar on it, gorgeous guitar, and I want to add a violinist, maybe get Aaron Weinstein to play violin on it. And he also recorded Mr. Kix, which is a great song from Kix & Co., and also Hazel's Hips, which became kind of a standard back in the day in 1961, even though the show didn't make it in. That song was played on the air, and people knew it at the time. So this is a great score. You should know, Kix & Co. That's a show.
I'm
writing it down.
if you're okay with it, Michael, because you know this will be our last song for the afternoon. If that's okay, could you play something from Kix & Co?
Yeah, give me a second to pull it out of the file cabinet.
Of course.
These caves are. All right. So this is the devil. Mr. Kix singing, I think it was in Burgess, I think it was Al Freeman Jr. or something like that, but it goes something like this. Permit me to introduce myself. The name is Mr. Kix. I dwell in a dark dominion way down by the river Styx. The devil has sent me here because I'm full of wild tricks, and I'm such a popular fellow among all you lunatics. I teach a course in ruination from the devil's texts. To folks who can't withstand temptation, step right up, you're next. I hail from a hot old hellhole down along the river Styx. Allow me to introduce myself. The name is Mr. Kix. When an old wolf starts to prowl in, out among the young lambs howling, don't you know he's looking for Kix? When a young cat full of sly tricks spends his evening chasing fly chicks, 10 to 1 he's looking for Kix. Kix is always in demand, cause Kix is full of fun and laughter, for lots of folks get out of hand, because it's only Kix they're after. Shady lady and her lover, operating undercover, she knows sin and virtue don't mix. Mama raised her prim and proper, now wild horses couldn't stop her when she's on a manhunt for Kix. Just Kix, looking for Kix. Just for Kix, nothing but Kix.
I'm Satan's sinful servant, sent to get you in a fix. So look me up most any time. The name is Mr. Kicks.
Oh, that was great. Oh my gosh. I want to hear the whole score now.
It's a really good song.
That's a great song, right?
So is everything else from this show. So is Hazel's Hips. It's a fantastic song.
So it was Kix and Co. And it was 1961, closed out of town.
Yep.
And once again, who wrote the score, please?
Oscar Brown Jr.
That's great. That's just great.
He wrote music, lyrics, and book. It was his baby. And if you see the rest of the cast, besides Burgess Meredith, you have, as you said, Alfred Jr.,
Nichelle Nichols, Al Freeman Jr., William Dwyer. Michael, I have to tell you, this was so much fun today. Oh, and I hope that you will join us again in doing something like this, because we Kevin and I count ourselves very lucky, because you know, we get to call you a friend and we've been over to the apartment. And I know so many people wish they could be in our shoes. So hopefully we gave them that experience today. Michael, this was just an absolute pleasure. Thank you. All right, everyone, till next time.
So long, listeners. Thank you for listening to today's episode, and a big thanks to the punchy players Jeff Marquis, who is bringing back Lucy, Betty, Judy, and Morda shill for us.
And a big thanks to our sound editor Daniel Schwartzberg and social media manager Bethany Ann Selecki.
And don't forget, we want more folks to hear these incredible stories, and that's where you come in.
In order for people to find out about us, we need lots of ratings on iTunes. So head on over to iTunes, search for Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends, click on our logo, click on Ratings and Reviews, then write a review and leave us 5 stars and make us feel as special as Eliza Doolittle on Eliza Doolittle Day.
Or you can leave us just 1 star and you can make us feel as bad as Annie did in that really weird production in Boston where Annie dreamt that she was being adopted, but then she ended up back where in the orphanage, right back where she started. Yeah, true story. Rob saw it.
Yes, and it was Betty. It was bizarre. I was there. I was.
Oh, good.
So head on over to iTunes and make us feel even more special than we already do.
Patrick Flynn.
What? Beth Amon.
I hate this movie.
Love Actually?
Yes.
Me too.
But I also love it.
Me too.
But I hate it.
You know what we should do?
What?
We should get a bunch of people together, split the movie into its 10 storylines, and then figure out this movie 1 story at a time.
You mean people like Keith Powell and Jill Knox Powell from NBC's Connecting?
Keith, why don't you show us what porn watching faces?
And Washington Post columnist Alexandra Petri?
I don't know. I think every Christmas story is a horror story.
Do you think it would work?
It actually inspired me to plan my funeral.
I dig the brothel angle.
Every time I think about the trailer, I'm like, I was misled.
I love your use of the word shag, by the way.
Can I mix your ashes with glitter?
It's like 8 half screenplays just put in a blender.
I am positive I stayed with my ex an extra 6 months because we saw this in the theater.
It will definitely work.
What is Love Actually? Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download. All episodes out November 27th.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.